I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey there, pet parents. If you're like me, your furry family members mean the world to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce to you PurePetWellness.com, your trusted source for all things CBD for pets. What sets PurePetWellness.com apart? Well, for starters, they're an American-owned family business with genuine love for animals. They understand the unique bond you share with your pets, and they've dedicated to helping your furry companions live their best lives. And I'm pretty sure that the owner's a flat earther. You can't go wrong with that. That's pretty dope, right? So if you're looking for natural solutions, Pure Pet Wellness is where your journey stops, because they have a premium CBD product specially crafted for your pets. Calming tensioners to soothing balms, they've got you covered. And conspiracy junkies get 20% off at checkout. Just hit rabbit at checkout and watch the prices.
Drop!
Excuse me.
Has anybody seen a white rabbit? The conspiracies, even from the masses. Flat Earth, paranormal, question everything that passes. The government's watching, but we ain't playing games. Gonna expose the secrets, reveal the untamed. Break the matrix, find the truth behind the lies. Unravel the unknown, open up your eyes. White Rabbit Podcast, we bring the facts to light. So buckle up, hold tight, we're taking flight.
And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones. We've been bringing the heat all goddamn summer, and we're not going to stop right now. Today, we have somebody that I've had on the show, what was it, 2 years ago, brother? And you came on, and you were talking about the Anunnaki and aliens, and we had to put on our tinfoil hat, and I guess we're going to have to put our tinfoil hat on one more time, because Todd Cave is back in the building, coming and visiting us from the UK, if I'm not mistaken. How are you, my brother?
I'm very well, sir, and I'm very happy to be here. And yeah, we put on our tinfoil hat the last time. I had a really good conversation, so looking forward to having another good conversation again.
Me too as well, brother. So where are you these days? I know that you do your fitness thing, and you kind of go all over the world spreading the truth about health and whatnot. So where are you at right now?
I'm currently in Mexico at the moment, and I've joined the ranks about you as well, where I'm actually doing podcasting as well, because after like several messages of people saying, well, Todd, why don't you do your own podcast as well? So I thought about it, and then I was like, you know what, I'll just throw my hat in the ring and put on a tinfoil hat as well, and you know, join the crew and help to teach, inform, and educate people about what's really going on in the world, and to bring some spiritual truths in it as well to balance the conspiratorial information, because to be honest, they're all really linked. You when you go down the rabbit hole of conspiratory information, you end up back at the spiritual part, because it's all based in spirituality, whether we believe it or not, but the our overlords, they believe in it. So I tell people, it doesn't matter what we believe, we just have to understand what they believe. And when you understand what they believe, then you can actually understand the agenda and you can piece things together. So this is
what. And that's the thing, isn't it, brother? Like, I've been dying on that hill too, when you tell people, it's like, well, they do this and they do that. And they're like, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, yes, it is ridiculous. It doesn't matter if we believe in it. What matters that they do. And that is the scary thing in a lot of these things that we're going to get into tonight. But I wanted to take a second to congratulate you, man. You started your own podcast since the last time you've been on the show. And that takes a lot of balls. It takes a lot of courage. And it's a lot more work than you expected it was going to be, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Editing videos and, you know, trying to book people to come on and, you know, still doing the day job with the fitness as well. But I really do like it because, I love talking to people like you. As people, I would say, when they progress in this journey, whether you start to understand maybe the Federal Reserve is not really federal and that the money is zero, wherever you start at, they're pretty much the same stages that you all go through. One of them is that you realize that you don't really connect with people the same way anymore. Conversations are very difficult. You lose friends, you lose family, you lose, excuse me, partners and all. And talking to people like you and the other people in the community really is a bit of therapy for me as well, because you can't really have these in-depth conversations with many, many people. So I really like doing it for one aspect of that. Then the other aspect is to teach people what's really going on. And also because I have the ability to do it. So I might as well just, you know, like scripture says, like the man who doesn't use his talent, the talent gets taken away from him. So I'm just going to use the talent that I have where I'm able to explain these very complicated things in a simple way that most people can understand. And, you know, I have fun doing it. And, you know, I will keep leaning into that edge and keep pushing the boundary and keep pushing myself so that I as well can level up and improve, you know?
I love that, brother. And everything that you just said, I couldn't get behind you even more because, like you said, katana, baby. So like you were, my dog thinks that there's ghosts in here sometimes, so she'll bark at nothing. Or maybe it's something, I don't know. Anyways, so like you're saying, brother, like I use this almost as a therapy as well, because a lot of the things that we talk about, you're lucky to come across one of those people in your life. If we didn't have the internet, that you could have those deep conversations with. And one of the beautiful things about the internet getting away from them is the fact that we've all been able to meet each other and we can grow these ideas off of each other and bounce our speculations off of one another, you know, based on our research and whatnot. But more importantly than that, we're also waking up other people that are asking these questions, that want to know more about, that kind of see something is different and something is kind of afoot and something is off. So it's been a while since you've been on, and there's been a lot of things in the mainstream media as far as the propaganda that they push on the people to push their narrative has been unfolding. And it looks like we might be going towards a nuclear war, but not only that, we've been seeing a lot of alien things, and they haven't been really exposing these or at least admitting to these alien things since the last time you've been on. So you want to kind of pick it up there? And because I'm kind of curious what your take is on that. Is this like Project Bluebeam that they're ramping up, or is there a different agenda that maybe I'm not aware of?
Well, the way I see it is that what I would say is that I think there's going to be some sort of alien, I'm trying to find the right word. I don't want to say propaganda, but some sort of unveiling of alien technology or aliens itself, whether it is fake, whether it is real, or whether it is a combination of both. And the reason why I say that is that I always tend to base the things I say on history. And when you look back at the ancient texts, there's prophecies in there saying that the gods, which are the Anunnaki, will walk amongst man again, right? And basically, what I would say is that, in my humble opinion, I think that disclosure has already been occurred. I think that for the people, the information is there. About 2-3 years ago, the mainstream media admitted that extraterrestrials, UFOs, they're real. No one batted an eye. It was just like next, because we were just coming out of the pandemic and everyone was now trying to get back on their feet and to, you know what I mean, get their life back together. That I think it was very well timed the way that they put out that information, because the way I see it is that they tell us the truth and they tell us the lie at the same time. But what they do is that when they tell us the truth, it is tend to be at a lower cycle with in the media, and then they bring a whole heap of other stories afterwards to bury that story. So even Tucker Carlson, he did a show where he basically said, look, the intelligence agencies are admitting that yes, these things exist, they are real, and no one seemed to care, right? Now, when you then look at
I'm sorry, I need to interrupt you right now, but just to know that with all the lies that the mainstream media has been feeding us, especially since the pandemic hit, right? So when they come out and say something as outlandish as we've been talking to aliens and we have UFOs, it's like almost like people will be like, yeah, whatever, the news always lies. And people will be like, yeah, whatever, we've always known that. And the news is finally just fucking getting around to saying something because it's finally time. So do you think that it is part of an agenda that they are trying to push? Because I remember when we left off last time, I need to plug in my my laptop, but I remember when we left off last time, you actually had me questioning things, because I've always just been to the understanding that extraterrestrials either came from extra land that we don't know about past the Antarctic wall, and or are interdimensional beings. And you kind of put it in my head that there could be another possibility and they could all coexist without interfering with each other at the same time. So I'd like to know your take on this. What is the big push for the alien agenda right now?
That's a great question. So we can go down a little bit of the rabbit hole here with this, because, well, when you look at these ancient texts, one of the things that is very common is that there is a certain group of people that you never can name that control the world. And these people, their God has said that he's going to come back. So what is actually happening in now is that they're building the third temple, right? And the third temple is really a harbinger for what is going to come. So that is going to be the signal to usher in this Antichrist, this beast system. So they may actually be the beast to come in and the Antichrist together, or one and then the next one. But basically what it is that these people, they believe that their God is going to come back. So what they're doing is that they're doing all of the things to force their God to come back, right?
So Let me go ahead and interrupt you for a second. I'm going to let you get back onto your thought for a second. I'm sorry. I'm really bad at interrupting. But you're saying some things that's kind of contradicting what I'm thinking. And so I want to get a clear airspace right here. So what do you think about, like, so I believe that everything that they're doing is honestly in force, just like you're saying, of bringing in certain prophecies so that they can bring in their God. Right. So a lot of people that are higher ups in the elites, they're into Saturn worship. And that is the higher power of a lot of these people. A lot of people at the Bohemian Grove, you know, they worship more Moloch. And so they all have these entities that they look up to. But all of these entities have the same commonality. And that is even in Jesus Christ, too. And that is that they're coming back. So what's your take on that? Like, how do you bring that into this question that I was just asking you about with Project Bluebeam and their big push on the alien agenda right now?
What it is that I was going backwards to come forward, because they're all linked, right? Because what it is that the ancient texts tell us that beings not from Earth, because the word extraterrestrial just means not from Earth. Extra meaning outside and terrestrial meaning Earth. So there were beings that came here, according to ancient texts, and seeded humanity, right? What happened through the process is that humans ended up worshiping these entities, which could be either interdimensional, could be physical, could be just advanced humans, or could be a combination of all three, right? But what we do know is that humans ended up worshiping these said deities. They call themselves gods, right? So what it is now is that the prophecies that were written by their followers is to be able to bring back their gods into the open so that humanity can see. So what they're doing now is that they're creating systems to allow that, because you can't just have child sacrifice in public, right? You have to demoralize the society. You have to normalize stuff. You have to propagandize. You have to change thought so that you have the hive mind so that these things to be accepted. Right. Right.
And they kind of do that subliminally too, like through Disney and Nickelodeon and stuff, where there's a lot of pedophilic things that are happening that you wouldn't notice without the subliminal, unless you actually knew, right? You muted, brother. There you go. There you go. He's back. He's
so
back,
what it is now is that because their gods say they're going to come back, what they're doing is that they're doing methodical steps to allow humanity to be able to, when they do come back, that we accept them with open arms and that we are actually praising them and worship them through the background, through all these religions, through the governmental systems, through everything, so that we end up doing it. So one part of that is to keep seeding our consciousness with extraterrestrials and aliens. So this is why we have the movies that have started to tell us, like Star Wars, Star Trek, all these other, Prometheus, Avatar, Then you have Matrix. All of these movies were produced to seed our consciousness with the possibility that these things actually exist. And then what they do is that because there's something called Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. You have the thesis and the antithesis. And what they do is that they tell us what they're doing to us. But what they do is that at the same time, when they tell us what they're doing, they come up with propaganda to make us disregard the truth that they told us, so that they have culpability to say, hey, we actually told you, right? But you chose to believe that. You understand?
Right. So it's also called revelation of the method, which is something, if you're huge into the occult and you're an occultic member, if you want people to go along with what you're going to do and it's going to hurt those people, you somehow have to get them to go along with it, basically give their okay. And so that's why they will feed us predictive programming and propaganda like that, is because you unwillingly give your okay. Okay, yeah, I saw that, and I was entertained by that, so therefore it's okay to do that to me, type of a thing. But I want to rewind back with what you were saying though. Is so, first off, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you, because you believe in the Anunnaki? You believe in that these beings, entities came here and basically helped create our yes. civilization, right?
Yes.
Am I wrong in thinking that? You do think that. Okay. So do you believe in God and Jesus Christ?
Yes and no. So let me explain. I do believe in God.
Okay.
But my understanding of God is different from most people, where I believe that I am God. I believe that you are God. I believe that the trees are God, the plants are God, the animals are God. And the reason why I say that is that when you read things like the Nag Hammadi texts, right, which are the Gnostic Gospels, the Gnostics give you a very good idea that in the beginning there was nothing, but in the nothing there was everything. So there's this duality system that happens where you have the chicken and the egg, and we end up fighting which one is first. But in reality, we need both, because you have feminine and masculine. So in reality, when God, and the thing is, the word God is quite limiting. I tend to use words like the Great Spirit, or the universal consciousness, Source. When Source was
do you do you give any credence to Yahweh or Yeshua?
Credence in the sense where Yeshua existed, Yeshua became the Christ, and Yahweh is really Enlil, who is an extraterrestrial being. He's one of the chief protagonists of the matrix that we live in, right?
So in your mm-hmm. studies mm-hmm. and what you've learned, so Christianity actually can coexist with your beliefs too. There's just some misleading things that are going on.
Well, this is the thing. I do.
Hang on. Answer this. Do you think that Jesus Christ was just a human that was able to reach Christ consciousness, a level of consciousness that the rest of us have not been able to be privy of? Or do you think he was really the Son of God?
Well, I don't use the word Jesus. I use the word Yeshua. And yes, Yeshua was a man that elevated his consciousness to Christ consciousness and became the Christ. And he was basically an ascended master that came here to teach us how to get out of the matrix. So I don't believe that he is actually the Son of God, because in reality, we all are the sons of God, right? Because when Yeshua spoke, he was very, very specific in how he spoke. He says in scripture, I did not come here to judge. I have reserved judgment for the Son. And the Son is collective, all of us. So we all are the sons of God, because there's some word semantics that goes on in these scriptures, which is why you have to go back to the original text. And when you look at the original Hebrew, the word begotten was changed in meaning, because begotten actually meant in Hebrew one of many. It wasn't a special term. So when he talks about his begotten Son, well, all of us are begotten sons of God because we're children of God, right? So what was happening is that the word
so
was...
Is begotten and legion kind of
yes,
one and the same?
Because we're all, because really we're all one consciousness, right? So we're all the children of God. All of us are God because we're all fractals of God, right? And the Nag Hammadi text explains this very well, that when Source created himself, because there was nothing, Source had to create the universe so the universe could confirm him. So this goes into like quantum physics, where if the tree falls in the forest, does it actually make a sound if there's no observer, right? So what it is now is that because Source is everything, even in nothingness, but in order for him to exist, because there's no one there to confirm his existence, he created the universe so the universe would confirm him. So at the same time, Source and the universe had to exist at the same time. And then he created derivatives of himself. First power, triple power, Barbello, Zoe, Pista Sophia. And all these derivatives came down, then they came out of man. So all it is just...
But who created Source? How do we have something
that's exactly
from nothing?
It. The Alpha and the Omega.
How do we have anything at all? Like, how is there any consciousness whatsoever? Like, because it baffles me all the time. And this is something that I've laid awake with at night since I was a little kid, is how in the fuck do we have anything at all?
But this is the thing. You have nothing and then you have everything, because they both coexist at the same time, right? It's the chicken and the egg, right? Because you can't have a baby unless you have the seed and you have the egg. So they both have to exist at the same time, masculine and feminine, hot and cold, left and right.
Right, but who put them there to begin with? I mean, what was the original consciousness? It's just crazy to me how there was absolutely fucking nothing, and from nothing, all of a sudden, there was something that was conscious enough to make more consciousness. And I get the whole fucking chicken or the egg thing, but honestly, it still is above the human pay grade, because there is no way that we can figure out and understand that there is something that has always been, because in our world, in our interpretation, there's always something that has a beginning and it has an end. So therefore, how can we possibly fucking comprehend that there is something that has always existed that didn't even have a beginning? It's just always been. How does that make any fucking sense?
Because we think as humans linearly. Because in the third dimension, we think that one thing has to go to another thing and another thing. But in reality, things are multidimensional. So what it is now is that because everything is expanding and growing at the same time, when you get so much expansion of growth, where is the actual beginning? It is just like, you know, if you have like a cup and you're having drops of water that you put into it, at what point in time do you say, oh, this is the point where it makes critical mass and the cup overflows? Well, it started from the first drop. But the thing is now is we don't know when the first drop was, but we know the first drop existed. So I think instead of us trying to figure out where was the beginning, we need to realize that the beginning and the end exist at the same time, right? Because it's like quantum entanglement, right? You can't have one without the other. But in us trying to search for the beginning, we end up finding the end. And when we try to look for the end, we end up finding the beginning, because the two actually coexist the same. And this is why the symbol of infinity exists, because the beginning leads back to the end. It's just like one stage of your life ends and then another stage begins, and then that stage ends and then another one begins. So basically explains how Taurus is. It is inevitable. It just keeps going, right? Because right. We think linearly, so we think that it has to be a specific beginning and an end. But in reality, the way scripture explains it, and then how I've downloaded it as well, is that two points exist at the same time. They are inseparable, right? They're almost like, you could say, for the lack of a better word, like Siamese twins. They're permanently conjoined. They can't be separated, because if you separate them, then that whole person
exists, right?
So they have to be together at the same time, you know?
So yeah, that's great. That I love the way that you break that down. It's still going to drive me crazy at night, though. How is there anything at all? That is the ultimate question you could ever ask, right? So let's dive back into this, though, because the government, and maybe not necessarily the government, because it seems like the mainstream media and the real government, and then the media government, there's like three different entities there. However, it seems that we're all going towards, whether it be nuclear war, World War III, or even possibly an alien invasion that is coming our way. Do you feel that is something that they've been preparing us for ever since Roswell? Or do you think, like, you realize that Blink-182's Mark, whatever his name is, has been actually inducted into the CIA, given a certain clearance level or whatever, so that he can go on podcasts and talk about what he's learned. And I really feel like they're just fucking telling him what they want him to put out to the public, because they're like, oh, this guy that has a lot of influence and he's super into aliens, so we're just going to tell him whatever the fuck we want him to regurgitate, right? So how much credence and validity should we put into this shit that we're seeing in the mainstream media about aliens? Not saying that there isn't aliens or that there isn't extraterrestrials and shit like that, because it's been documented since way before we've been documenting. But what is the validity that you give to this shit?
Well, what I do is I look at the narrative, at what they're trying to push. Then I always confirm stuff in terms of scripture, because what tends to happen is that the future seems to rhyme with the past. They may not be the exact same, but you see a lot of similarities, right? And the reason for the push for extraterrestrials is that I think that because don't forget, right? Right now, we are on the verge of having massive understanding that the government, the money, the religion, the legal system, the health system, everything is all a fraud, right?
Correct. Yeah, people are waking up in great numbers.
So think about it,
right?
If you have everything in your world that is about to crumble, are starting to crumble and you're seeing the cracks visibly. Now, when that happens, it is going to leave people in a huge state of shock. People will not know what to do with themselves. Some people will commit suicide. Some people may do killings. Some people may start raping, taking drugs, whatever, right? What they can do now is that by making the system so bad, then they come with a savior, because in all religions, there's a savior. In all, even in terms of government, the consciousness of government, there is a savior, and the savior is the government, right? So what that means is that by having the system break down so badly, then the people are going to need a savior. The people are going to need something that they can shift their focus onto. So the way I see it is that they're feeding us the information about extraterrestrials, so that when extraterrestrials come, either they fake it or the extraterrestrials come in, or it could be a hologram or a combination of all. We don't know. But what I do think is that extraterrestrials, whether real, fake, or a combination of both, will happen. That, I think, is written in tea leaves. Because when the stock market crashes, when the dollar goes to zero, when the electricity goes down, when the water goes off, when all communication goes down, what are we going to have? We're going to need something to save us. And that thing to save us will be in the form of extraterrestrials, which will be the new god that they're trying to push, which is why I say it's all linked, where they're building the third temple in Israel, because this is a harbinger of what is to come. Because they believe that if they create the system to be so bad, then that their god will come back, because they believe that certain conditions need to be met before their god comes back. So what they're doing in the higher ups is that they're saying, okay, our scripture says that in order for God to come back, these things have to happen. So they've elected themselves to do these things, because they believe in savior through sin, salvation through sin. So they believe that if they do, they're doing the work of God by doing these things to humanity, it creates the conditions that will become so bad that God will have no choice for you to come back. But their God is basically an extraterrestrial God. So their God is going to come back and is going to rule with an iron fist, like how he did many, many thousand years ago. And they believe, because they're the chosen people, that they're the elect. They're the ones that will be put to run the asylum, because they're basically creating an asylum and they want to be the guards and the prison.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And we see that there's like a battle right between the elite, because it's clearly not just one group of elite people that have their goal that is going towards. There's clearly different groups of elites, and they're battling for the fucking high crown, in a nutshell, basically. But to backtrack on what you were saying a little bit is, you know, they're definitely going towards this one world thing. However, this is what I loved about Q, and what you just said was kind of Q-like, you know. But what Q did is it brought everybody together that was kind of like-minded and was able to bring the people that were researching things and taught them how to research even more. And I think it's done. It served its purpose. It's come. It's gone.
I follow the facts where they.
But what have you been getting into lately that you think is something that my listeners should know about that's coming around the corner here?
Well, what I would say is that the way I see it is that the Son of Man, which is basically the Christ consciousness, is fast approaching. And what that means is that we are going to go through a massive metamorphosis, because what is happening is that things are just speeding up very, very quickly. And what I am seeing is that there's a massive, massive shift in consciousness, because when I first started to do podcasts,
In a good way, brother?
Because when I first started to do podcasts, I didn't see as many people that were really like asking for like, well, what's really going on? You know what I mean? Like actively seeking. And from this year, I've seen a huge spike in people that are actually interested, because I mean, we all wake up at various times. And what is for sure is that human beings only wake up when they go through a very traumatic experience. And what's happened is that the traumatic experience has started with the pandemic. And then for all the other things that have been happening as a consequence, it has forced people to wake up. Where there are people now that are even like looking at their own religion, and they're like, I'm not too sure if this religion is really it, you know? And people are having to ask themselves these very hard questions. And what is going to happen is that we're going to have to put our differences aside. Because one of the reasons why I decided to jump into the podcast and throw my hat into the ring is because what I realized is that all too many times, we as people that are true seekers, we tend to focus on the things that are different between us. So we may not agree on everything,
right,
which is fine, right? But what I am trying to do, and my message is that let us look at the things that we do have in common, right? And we focus on those, and we build on those, right? Because, okay, look,
That is so funny that you bring this up. I'm gonna interrupt you there, but do you remember the very first time that you came on my show and I put a disclaimer out at the very beginning of my show? And I was like, is this guy really gonna repeat everything that I've already heard on the History Channel? And I even said, okay, I'm gonna shut my mouth and I'm gonna listen and I'm gonna attach myself to the things that I agree with this guy about so that we can learn and grow from those things rather than dwell on the things that I don't agree with him about. And I think that that is the biggest problem, not just in America, but the biggest problem within our world culture right now is we want everything right now, instant gratification, and we're getting that. And if we're not validated right then and there, then we want to go to a tribe that is going to validate us right then and there, because let's just face it. We're a species that is uncomfortable with ourselves and insecure. And that is just what it is. You know, there is some that are more confident than others, but when it boils down to it, we are a very insecure species for some reason. And I think that has to do with the propaganda that has been put down on us and to make us doubt ourselves and to make us think that we're not good enough so that we can't find our true potential and our Christ consciousness. And I didn't mean to go off on a rant there right there, but I just think it's funny that you brought that up, because when I first met you, I was like, kind of upset. And I was like, I don't even want to finish this episode. But then when I told myself, let me listen to the things that I agree with this guy about, I was like, actually, this guy is really fucking cool. And I like a lot of things that you have to say. And so I think that a lot of us dismiss people right out the gate, whether it be like you look at somebody up and down, let's say they're missing teeth or something, and you think that they're a tweaker. Well, did you know that that motherfucker went through the worst fucking shit in his entire life that you will never be able to understand, and he came back on top of it? You know what I mean? And is, if you were to just give him 5 minutes, you would be like, holy cow, this is a warrior, this is a soldier that has seen some crazy shit and has been able to come out on top. And I think that that is our problem right now, is we're so quick to judge a book by its cover, and we're not willing to budge, because it's almost like we all have a line drawn in the sand, and myself included. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of this, because, you know, I won't even smoke weed with somebody that has taken the jab, because that's just, I'm not going to. But I don't even know where I was going with that, but I'm sure you could pick up on
that. Yes, I understand, and I do agree. You know, it's mad, because I always tend to pull out scripture and look at stuff, because Christ said, because I remember there's a parable where there was this woman that she was accused of being a prostitute, and the Jews wanted to stone her for adultery. And Christ said to them, he who is without sin cast the first stone, right? And no one could stone her because they all had sin. And he also said, judge not, yet let yet ye be judged, right? And this is so common and so present in our human experience, where we tend to judge everything just by how it looks and not necessarily listening to the information, or, you know, we put in aside our biases to hear something else, because Christ always said that you can't put new wine into old wine skins. And what that means is that in order for you to learn a new truth, we need to put what you think is true on the shelf. You need to empty your cup of what you think is true to learn a new truth. And if the truth that you learn coincides with what you knew before, you can say, okay, this is what you call a confirmation. Now, if the stuff that you learn contradicts that, but if you look at the information, the evidence, you say, well, there's a likelihood that this could be true, you just leave the stuff that you knew before on the shelf. Because if other information comes that confirms the stuff on the shelf, you can pick that stuff off the shelf again, right? So I tend to try not to dismiss things and say, okay, well, I don't really agree, but I'll put it on the shelf because I don't have all the information. And what we do is that we try to, because we all have religions, you know what I mean? Like, we have beliefs that people can't question. And when people try to question our beliefs, we get very aggressive. You know what I mean? Look at all the main religions: Jehovah Witness, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, whatever. You try to question these people and you bring sometimes facts and information, they will vehemently oppose you. And some people will try to get violent because at the end of the day, their belief in this thing is so strong that if they were to entertain something else, it shatters that belief that they have. So their entire identity is shattered.
Yes, I deal with that because my parents are Jehovah's Witness. So yeah, I'm not allowed to have conversations with them about politics, conspiracies, or religion. And I'm like, well, those are the only things that I like to talk about. So like, what are we going to talk about? The latest episode of whatever show that you watched that I never gave any time to, because I have way more to do with my time than watching fucking TV. But
so this is why I say to people that we need to start to look at the things that we have in common, because I think that anyone that has two brain cells to rub against can put up their hand and say, okay, Todd maybe this, Tadis maybe that, Susie maybe that, but all of us have suffered in the last 4 years. It didn't matter your color, your age, your gender, how much money you make, if you make no money or not, we all have suffered in some form or fashion. We all have some sort of a trauma, an argument, a disagreement, some bone to pick with the entities and the elite that rule us, right? And what my message is to people is that let us put aside our differences. The earth may be flat, it may be wrong, it may be a square. Put that aside, right? Let us focus on one, helping each other. For example, if I have a farm and I grow goats and I sell milk, then I will sell milk to my local people, right? You may grow bananas. I don't have bananas because my goats will eat them. So I say, look, hey, Catalyst, I'm going to give you some milk, or I'm going to give you some goats. I want some bananas. This is how we need to start to work, because in reality, the system has been designed to have just-in-time delivery, which has stopped us from having, one, kitchen gardens, and two, having some sort of animals that we rear, right? Because our ancestors had some sort of a kitchen garden, had some goat or sheep or a few chickens or whatever, and they were always barter, give away. They may grow fruits or vegetables, and there was always this giving away, buying and selling amongst ourselves. And then that is how we actually ensure, one, we get organic produce, you know, because the farmers are going to eat their own produce and they're not going to be eating crap food. So they're not going to be selling you crap food, right? So that's one of the ways that we can actually come together, where we support local, right? You know, some guy in your town, he's a physical trainer. Well, support him, because he may one day be able to fix your car or change your tire or whatever. You know what I mean? We need to start realizing that we all are the same. We all have been affected. And we need to put aside our differences and realize that they are coming for us. They want to cull us, and they want us to have us to be slaves. Because the end game is to have us to upload our consciousness to the cloud through microchip nanotechnology, which will be implanted in our brain. This is why the jabs, the whole pandemic was designed, because it is a step-by-step approach where people get accustomed to inject.
Hang on. You just went out into left field right now. And I wouldn't say that all of my listeners are white belts by any means. But if there's anybody that's new that is listening to this right now and heard what he just said, go ahead and look up 20, type in 2024.com, and you will be blown away by what their fucking agenda is for us.
Absolutely. Well, that guy, who was Klaus Schwab's number two, Harari, he said that human beings are hackable devices or beings.
Yeah, we're hackable beings. And
that the idea of freedom doesn't exist anymore, and you have to get your genetic upgrades and all kinds of malarkey this geezer's talking about, you know? So they're putting it out there.
But it's not that much of malarkey if you think about what they've been able to do and what they've been able to produce. And, you know, like I know you might not go as deep down the rabbit holes as I do, because that's what we do on this show. But, you know, like I've talked to people like Tila Tequila or rapper B.O.B. and stuff. And we talked about Donald Marshall and whether or not he was legit in the things that he was saying. And, you know, Tila Tequila, she had a show on MTV, and she swears to God the entire time that she had a show on MTV that she was in a basement somewhere and her fucking clone was the one that was out there in the public eye and the one that was having all the fun and these fucking sexual escapades and whatnot while she was being hid away because she was going to speak out about everything.
I'll be honest with you. I would not doubt it, right? And in fact, I do believe that there is that exists, because when you look at pictures of this current president, you see the difference in his ears and his earlobes from years back to now, right? So I do think that that does exist, and they have clones for... Well, look, let's just be honest here. They tell us everything in the movies. That movie, The Island, right, with Scarlett Johansson, that blatantly showed us exactly what you're talking about here, right? That your clone would be in some basement or out there doing stuff. And then when that clone dies or breaks the leg or whatever, they just literally swap that clone for another clone and transfer your consciousness to another body. Now, people may think that transferring the consciousness can exist, but if you read the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, Thoth said specifically, he says, "I walk amongst men, but not as a man." He said in his tablets that he would transfer his consciousness from one avatar body to the next. Each body would last 1,000 years.
Well, I mean, how familiar are you with the homunculus and how we can bring upon... do you know what a homunculus is? Okay, so a homunculus is something that has been basically a being, a soul, or an entity that we can place into a physical being for quite some time now. And this is something that Aleister Crowley was big into trying to do. If you guys want to know more about homunculus, go check out One on One's podcast or even Esoteric Eddie. Esoteric Eddie has a great, great shit about homunculus. And it tells you how to create one. And basically what you do is you put the spirit or the soul of an entity that is seeking a body, and you're able to do so.
I do believe that this is all possible, because in the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, Thoth says that, like I said, I walk as a man, but unlike a man, right? And he said that each avatar body lasts 100 years, and he said that he is incarnated 100 times 100, which is 10,000. So that's 10,000 years minimum that he was doing that. And we do know from...
Kept coming back.
And then even...
So here's a question I have, like, because I think about this sometimes too, you know, it's like, this is my first time going through this entire experience, right? Because my daughter asked me for advice on life things sometimes. And I'm like, damn, baby girl, like, I wish I had the answer for that, but I'm going through this for the first time as well. But then I'm like, am I really going through this for the first time? Or is this just like, I have my, like, my memory scrubbed, like on Men in Black, right? Where they're like, hey, look here. And then your memory scrubbed. And then you come back and try to redo this all over again so that you could learn something to take onto you with the next level. I don't know, man. You can drive yourself crazy thinking about this shit.
It does seem like if there is a system of soul catching and weapon of memory, and it appears that this tier is connected to the moon and the Saturn. So I found some information here recently that I think would be very interesting to your listeners. So you,
yeah, let's
do
bring
you know,
it up, brother.
What is the Star of David, right?
Yeah, we all know what the Star of David is.
And you know how many...
Well, at least most...
You know how many sides it has.
Correct. Right, the six-sided
what
star.
What is the sixth planet in our solar system? Saturn. And on
Saturn.
Top of the Saturn, there's a hexagram, right? Good. So if you ask the people who are associated with the Star of David, what is the history of it and where did it come from, they can't tell you. They literally don't know. But what we do know is that I'm going to give people some sources to look up. And the first source is Amos chapter 5, verse 26 to 27. Give me to 27. And it says, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, the images that you made to worship them. Now, Remphan is actually referring to the planet Saturn, right? And the star is referring to the star Saturn, the sixth planet. Moloch is Marduk, right? And Marduk is also associated with Saturn. All of this stuff came out of Babylonia, and the Jewish religion was born in Babylon. And the tabernacle basically means the house of worship. So Remphan is actually referring to the star, right? And there's another another place where you can find that is called Acts 7, verse 43. Again, it says, you took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon, right? So this is
right. So that just goes back to symbolism or will be their downfall.
So what it is now is that the Star of David comes from the star where the hexagram on top of Saturn, right? Saturn is the sixth planet. This is why what they do is that, not that necessarily the number six is bad, but they've taken the numbers because basically the sacred numbers for creation are 3, 6, and 9.
Right, because 666 to be evil is actually a fallacy. It's not actually 666
is
not evil. It's actually almost the opposite. Yeah,
six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. That is the son of man. That's basically but what they've done is that they flipped it, because for people to understand this information is that everything that is sacred and good, they've taken and they've flipped it on its head. They've inverted it. So they make us think that they make us think that six is necessarily bad, but it's not really bad, because I'll show people some sacred mathematics here. So six, 3, 6, and 9 are what create a triangle, right? And when you invert that triangle, you get 9, 6, and 3, which is what? The Star of David, which is the hexagram, right? Now, that 6 also represents the number of man, 6 neutrons, 6 protons, 6 electrons, right? That actual star is a representation of what is called a Merkaba. A Merkaba exists in our etheric body, and the Merkaba is literally that same Star of David. And what happens is that when you attain spiritual consciousness to a level, you can spin the Merkaba inside of you, And what it does is that it spins in opposite directions, creating a toroidal field, which is why on our last show, I was telling you that the information shows that the Earth is really a toroid, which means that it's both flat and round, right? Because we have a flat.
I was just going to bring that up to you because the more research I've done and when people say, oh, it's a donut shape, and I'm like, oh, no, now we're going ridiculous. Like, come on, man. Like, it was hard enough for me to get on flat Earth. Now we're going with donut Earth. But no, you look into it and a toroid, spheroid, is exactly what it is because that is what keeps energy going and flowing. So it comes down, it comes back up, and it keeps regenerating itself. And that would make the most sense in what we live in.
So it's all linked, right? So the Merkaba is built on toroidal technology, which is zero point energy, right? So what it is now is that I can show people some mathematics here now to confirm this. So 3 times 2 is 6. 6 and 3 is 9. 9 times 2 is 18, right? 18 times 2 is 36. 3 and 6 is 9, right? 36 times 2 is 72. 7 and 2 is 9. 72 times 2, 144. 4 plus 4 is 8 and 1 is 9. So 3, 6, and 9 are actually the building blocks for creation. So this is where...
Right. Once you recognize this pattern, it's impossible to not see it because it took me a long time. And once it finally hit me and I was like, oh my God, this is what they're talking about. And once I saw the patterns of 3, 6s and 9s, it's everywhere. You cannot
absolutely
not see it.
Absolutely. This is actually built into the pyramids as well, because even the 4, 3, 2 frequency, it's also the frequency of God. 4 and 3 is 7. 7 and 2 is 9. Again, it comes back to the 9. In the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, Thoth tells us that the number of the Father, Source, is 9. So 3 is where we're at. This is the Son of Man. 6 is the Spirit, right? 6 is the Feminine. And the Feminine to the Masculine together create us, the Son, and it keeps the whole energy. So this is why... when Christ said that when Adam existed, I am, but he was speaking through his God self because he realized that he is God. God is him. All of us are God. So we're just fractals and parts of God that make the whole. It's like if you go to the beach and you take a cup and you have some water, that water in the cup is still the ocean. It has the exact same properties, saline solution, everything that you just took from the ocean. Because it's in a cup doesn't mean that it's not the ocean. It's still the ocean. And this is...
It's still the ocean. You just took it away from the ocean to experience something different.
So this is why when people ask me, what is my belief in God? I have to pause and I say, okay, well, I am God. And then they say, so are you. So are the animals. So are the plants. So are the trees. So are the shrubs. The ants. All of it are God because it is a perfect system where... It just continues. For example, you have the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter. You have animals that hunt other animals so that those animals wouldn't get out of overproduce, right? And we humans are the ones that don't realize, and we go and destroy the habitats that put the balance out of sync. So if humans were to really live in sync with nature, this is why... when you listen to some of the old shaman, the Native Americans and stuff, they say that they plan for 7 generations ahead. So their decisions that they would do are for 7 generations to keep the balance. And we are unbalanced. And this is because when the Anunnaki came here, they installed all of these control systems. They injected a lot of fear into us. They injected all these religions. Because when you read these Sumerian tablets, they used to fight amongst one another. They used to create wars. And what they did is that they taught us these things, right? This is what it says in the Sumerian Kings List. It's a 4-sided tablet in the library and the museum in London. It says, and the kingship was lowered from heaven, which really means the sky. and the kingship was descended to Eridu. It's from there that they taught all these things. Then we read the law, the book of Enki, sorry, the book of Enoch.
I have a question. I have a question before you jump in that, because is there not three different versions of the book of Enoch, and were not they written by two different people? Out of the three versions, there was two different
authors? Yes, I've read all three. Yeah, one Enoch is the one that is in the Ethiopian Bible. Two Enoch talks about Metatron and how he Enoch basically becomes Metatron and Ascended Master. And the three Enoch is based on, from memory, to do with Slavs.
And Nephilim?
Like with the Slavic people and stuff.
So which one is it that really gets into the Nephilim and... I'm sorry, I'm not even talking into the microphone. Which one is it that really gets into the Nephilim and the giants of our times before we had our Enoch great one. Reset?
First Enoch.
So Enoch 1, it talks about how these entities were cast out of heaven. And when these entities, basically the beasts of the fields, they took wives with them. They also took wives with... with humans, human females, and what they had was giants, aka Nephilim, and these Nephilim also can be considered part of the Viril Society, if I'm not mistaken, and the reptilians that we talk about as far as shapeshifters that are alive today that kind of rule everything.
It is a possibility, and. On the all the research, as I've done further research, I'm starting to process the information in a different way. Where I think that the information is true, but there's some narrative spin on it, and I'm starting to think now that the Anunnaki are just advanced humans, and they came from another star system, and they came here. So what it is now is that they use words like heaven, because, for example. In English is the only language that I know that there are two words for heaven and sky. So, for example, in Spanish and Portuguese, there's only one word for sky and heaven. In Spanish, it's cielo, which is heaven and sky. And in Portuguese, it's céu. Now, in English, we have a difficulty to conceptualize that heaven is just the sky. For us, heaven is like this mythical, etheric place where God sits on some throne with a white beard and with some staff, and he's saying, hey, fear me, if not, I'll destroy you. Instead, what I think it is most likely now is that they came from another planet. They came here for resources. We know that human beings seem to have this predisposed position to worship other people or entities or beings that are more advanced for them.
Shit that we don't know about. Like, oh, shit, they can do shit we can't do. Yes. We should probably worship them.
And have you ever heard of the cargo cult?
No, but have you ever heard of Flat Earth? Because what you were just talking about. So I'm just curious, like, does it have to be outer universes that you're speaking of that these beings come from?
It could be a combination.
Can it come?
We're not sure. We don't know. What we do know is that we have...
This is speculation. It's always going to be speculation.
What we do know for sure is that we have tribes like the Navajo, the Hopi, the Dogon, the Chinese philosophy. We have the Aborigines from Australia. They all said that their gods came from a different place. They all seem to say the Pleiades and Sirius, right? They all said that they were seeded here. And they all said that.
So that let. I'm glad that you just said seeded. So what do you, what credence do you give into star seeds? And are we?
I think star that seeds? There are many of us that are star seeds. But the thing is that most of us just have not woken up yet, because.
What are star seeds? Because I just kind of asked you if you believe that you and I are one, but a lot of people listening probably don't even know what star seeds are.
I would say that. If you are a person that is out there talking about this information publicly, most likely you're a starseed, because You don't just go and talk about these things because you like it. You talk because you have this inner voice, this inner thing in you telling you this is something you have to do, whether you want to do it, whether you like to do it, whether you hate doing it. There's something that is like in the back of your subconscious that keeps speaking to you in your own voice, and you do it regardless of how difficult it is. So I would say that if anyone is out there doing what we're doing, most likely they're star seeds. And a star seed is a person that basically has reincarnated here on a purpose to help usher humanity through this stage that we're in now. They create a soul contract on a higher level to come back here to go through all the pain, the struggling, the strife, in order to illuminate and to get to a certain level of consciousness that they can teach, inspire, and inform humanity to pick up their own cross and to die to themselves and to break away from the matrix. So basically that is what a star seed is. You know, a person that has reincarnated here with the sole purpose of trying to wake up humanity.
I completely agree with you, brother. What do you think about people like, have you ever talked to Cult of Conspiracy, Jonathan and Jacob? Okay, so those are, I love those guys, so awesome. And you know, I believe it's Jonathan that thinks that he is a starseed for sure, but he not only thinks he's a starseed, but he gets messages from starseeds that are sending him messages and shit. Like, so do you because you're such an advanced fucking being, bro. You're not just a normal human. You're like, you're me, but even more advanced than me. So do you think that you are a starseed? Do you have these discussions with a being higher than yourself? Or is that just woo?
I do believe that I'm a starseed. And I was shown that I was a starseed because one day, this is like 7 years ago, as I first started to get into this information, I randomly came upon a website. I clicked on it, and it said that if you have found this website, you are in fact a starseed. And they showed different levels. And there's one level in it where you are a starseed, but you just refuse to wake up, right? No matter how much information you're shown, you refuse. The other one is where you're shown and then you turn your back against it and deny it, even though you have proof. And then the other stage is where I am at, where I saw the information and I decide that I'm going to walk the path, no matter how difficult it is and has been. And then to answer your other question, I get downloads and stuff where I...
Okay, I'm glad you said downloads, because I've never been visited by a being where it was like, I'm a starseed and this is what you need to do. Whether I agree with what it says I need to do or not, I feel like I'm here for a purpose. And a lot of times it's difficult. Like tonight, like we were having technical difficulties and it would have been so easy for me to say, fuck it, we'll do this some other time. But something inside of me was like, no, we need to get this fucking information out. So you're going to do this whether or not your co-host can come on or not. So here we are, we're doing this. So do you believe that like there are star seeds that are actual higher conscious beings that are not of this consciousness that we are, but maybe at a different higher or just different, maybe it doesn't have to be higher, that are guiding us in the right direction, that are giving us these little clues? Because I feel like I said tonight, I almost canceled this show, but something told me we need to do this, and I'm glad that we did.
Yes, I do. I do believe that there are beings higher that are basically looking out for humanity, because they're when you read the Saint Germain books, he talks about the White Brotherhood, and he talks about Lady Nada, and he talks about other people that he's trained that has become ascended masters. And in these books, I'll give people four books that are very good in his theories. He has a lot of books, but one is called Untold Mysteries, Unveiled Mystery Story. Then the next one is called The Magic Presence. The next one is called the I Am Discourse. And the fourth one is called the Ascended Master's Handbook. I've read all four of those books. And what is clear is that they are beings that are physical and non-physical, and a combination of both, because Saint Germain can literally come in and out. He exists in a higher realm, and when he wants that, he comes in. It is like, dude, like, you know how they still show on Star Trek where like you teleport, you just come in and out? Well, when you read the book, it is literally like that, right? And this is when you have the ability to spin your Merkaba fast enough to vibrate the atoms inside of your body, the molecules, fast enough that you literally, this third dimension can't hold you anymore. You just disappear. Just like how when you heat water, it turns into steam, but the water is still the steam. The steam is just in a different form. And then when you cool the steam, it turns back into water. That is exactly how humans are. If you vibrate high enough, you will literally disappear from this third dimensional Earth, and you will go to another plane. And then when you are...
Well, it's funny that you bring that up, brother, and I'm going to interrupt right here, but it is amazing that you bring that up, because I am not a Catholic, and I think that that is probably one of the worst religions that has ever been branded. However, I asked a Catholic about the Holy Trinity, and they brought up water, and they said water is the same thing, but yet if you freeze water, it's ice. If you boil it, it's boiling water. It can become vapor. So it can become three different elements, and it's still the same exact thing. And so that's, even though I don't believe in the Catholic religion, I was like, damn, you actually nailed that. 'Cause that makes me help understand what the Trinity could possibly be. However, going back on what Catholicism is and everything, I think that it's greater than that. And I think that it could actually have more to do with gematria and numerology than actual beings.
It is a possibility, because sacred geometry, numerology, gematria, they're all basically codes of the universe. They're codes that are what create this reality. So I would not be surprised at all if you can actually go back to the original Hebrew and find codes inside of the information to help unlock other keys and higher levels of consciousness. Because, like I said before, humans, we tend to think very linearly. And in reality, how the Catholic explained the Trinity is exactly how I would explain the Trinity. And what it is that this is why I say that we are all one. Because Christ said that I mean you, Father, you are in me, just like they are in us. So it means then that we're all together. So this is why I say that I am God, you are God, the plants are God, the animals are God. Because if everything has a beginning and an end, which basically creates the infinity, and we are a fractal of the infinity, it means then that we also are infinity. We can't die, because consciousness can't die. Consciousness lives forever, right?
Right. Well, it goes into the whole thing that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just is, right?
It just redistributes in another area. You just deflect it and put it in another area. So this is why that when you read like even Pista Sophia is a very, very good book. It's long, but it's a very good book. And Yeshua, after he was resurrected, he spent an extended amount of time with his disciples and also Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was actually very, very smart. She picked up everything that he was teaching. And all of the guys, he was just like, I'm paraphrasing, but you could hear his frustration, where he's like, guys, like, what's wrong? Like, y'all just not getting this. And every question he asked, Mary Magdalene, boom, she'd be the first one, put her hand up. And it was just like, wait, come on, let's give someone else another chance. Yeah. They just wouldn't get it. But my point is that he was explaining all of these things to them in terms of like the higher levels of consciousness, the things that are not of this world. And he was even explaining how the universe came into existence. And it is very fascinating where it was literally existing and not existing at the same time. But it had to, the source had to create the universe so the universe would confirm him so that he could actually exist. Because if there's nothing there to confirm you, you still don't exist because, you know, no one's there, right? Nothing is there. So
that goes back to my question of how is there anything at all? And that, like, that goes exactly directly to
it's
that
just
question.
The energy. You can't see energy, but you can feel it. It's just like the wind. The wind, you how someone say, but God, I can't see the wind. How do I know the wind actually is real? But you see the breeze moving, then you can get hurricanes. Do you see the destruction? So you don't have to see it for it to exist and to be real, but you can feel and see the effects. So this is why I say that.
Okay, so that's another question I have is when people are like, well, you don't have any proof of God. It's just a feeling, right? Like, how do you know it exists? And I'm like, well, do you believe in love? Have you ever felt love?
Correct.
Like, you can't see that.
Correct.
How do you know that exists?
And the thing is, right, is that what people fail to realize is that we humans are confirmation that God exists. So let me break it down. We have inside of us, we don't have to think to breathe. We don't have to think if you get a cut, you have to say, okay, skin, you're cut. You have to repair yourself. If you break a limb, you don't have to say, okay, bone, you need to repair yourself. It just happens, right? That alone confirms the existence of God because it is by grand design. It's by intelligent design, right? So human beings, even animals, are a confirmation that God is real. Because how can you sit down and think about all the trillions of processes that needs to occur for a human being to live? You have to communicate all of the trillions of cells and tell each cell, hey, you're getting a little bit sick here, so you need to produce antibodies to go and fix that. You know what I mean?
Bro, and you just brought something up that just fucking blew my mind too. And think about it like this, and the way that you just said it is how many iPhones have you had if you dropped them that were able to fucking fix themselves over a couple weeks? It just fixed itself.
None.
Like none, right? Like you've never bought the latest technology and then accidentally dropped it into some water or got out of your car one day and it fell off of your lap and you're like, fuck, I'm fucked. Like we are the only piece of technology that is able to repair itself without even having to think about
Correct.
It. It just happens.
We are what you call biological intelligence. This is why they want to push artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence and biological intelligence have similarities in the word intelligence. But artificial is synthetic. Biological is actual natural, because it's just like trees. Again, trees don't have to, they're not taught how to grow. They just grow, right? What it is now is that our elites, they have this, they're into this solar cult, Saturn worship, right? And this energy seems as what has taken over this solar system. And this energy from Saturn appears to be, for now, this energy appears to be directly beamed to the moon and then from the moon to here. So there's a link between, it's almost like this trilogy. Earth, the moon, Saturn. Saturn, the moon, to Earth. There's this connection.
Okay. So as because you know I'm a flat earther, right? So as a flat earther, let me ask you, does that dismiss anything that you're saying, or can it coexist with my flat earth theory as well, that everything is local? As far as everything is local, the sun and the moon is local. Now, I don't know what Saturn is. It's obviously out into the firmament somewhere. But what it is, I don't know, because I definitely know that it's not what NASA is telling me that it is, because I've looked at the images that NASA gives me, and then I've also looked at images of people that have their own telescopes and their own P90 cameras and have been able to zoom in on this shit, and we're not getting the same images that NASA gives us. So so they're worshiping Saturn. In Saturn, a lot of people just say, oh, that's the planet. But what the fuck is a planet? And plane et, so a female plane is what we break down the word planet to, a female plane. And I'm just curious, like, so these people worship these things. We obviously know they're there because we can see them, but they're not local as far as like the sun and the moon is local. That's local within our solar system.
The thing is that we don't have conclusive evidence to know exactly. Because in regards to flat Earth, I think we possibly live on a flat Earth, because I'm a toroidal Earth. So I think that we have two flat tops and we have a rounded side. So I think that both parties are actually correct, right? I think that, for example, let me explain why you say that both parties can be correct. So if you see this here, right, you are seeing red on this side. On this side, I'm seeing black.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on this side, I am telling the truth. On your side, you're telling the truth. We're both correct, right? But it's only until we switch that we actually can see each other's side. I think this is basically what we have with the flat Earth, round Earth camp. I don't think what I would say is for sure, the geometry that they give us for round Earth is not correct. But what I do would say is that there seems to be evidence that we have an inner Earth. So in order to have an inner Earth, we have to have some sort of body, right? And then when you look at how the toroidal field works and how the energy works, it just is a self-replicating energy source where it's infinity, right? It keeps powering itself. So I think then that when you look at that, we could possibly be on the flat top. So you could actually be 100% right that the Earth may be flat, but maybe just that part. They could actually be walls stopping people going for that Antarctica. That can actually be possible, right? But what we do know is that Admiral Byrd said in 1947 that he went on the inner Earth and he visited Venus, right? He said that his plane was tractor beamed by what he calls fuel rods, right? And he went in the inner Earth and he met beings that were tall white beings. Very tall, he said, advanced technology. It was a complete different civilization inside, right? So,
right. The average height was 8 to 11 feet.
Right? Then people may say, but that's a bit woo. But actually, when you start to look at things like Tartaria, you realize that that whole civilization just disappeared in mud floods. But the buildings still exist, and the lintels for the doors were about 10, 11, 12 foot tall, right? You have paintings and depictions and murals that show that they had sky trains. They had anti-gravity technology, right? And we only know about Tartaria because the KGB declassified information about it. And this was picked up by the CIA in their documents saying that the Russians, the Soviets, have destroyed all history about Tartaria because they didn't want their people to know. And they were very tall beings as well.
Well, you know what's crazy, bro? You know what's crazy is, so 2 years ago I was living in Tennessee, and me and Deplorable Janet from Deplorable Nation, we were out just going to different random stores, and we went to a consignment store, and there was globes. There was two different globes in that store, and both of the globes had Tartaria on them. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was across the street from the governor's mansion in Nevada because I was interviewing a somebody that's running for state senator, and I was interviewing him, and the mansion that I was in is called the Bliss Mansion across the street from the governor's mansion. And inside of that mansion, there was a fucking globe that opened up, and it had like a whole drink. It was like a wet bar, but it was a globe. And so when you open it up, it had drinks and stuff in it. But on this wet bar, right there on the top in the front, it said Tartaria. And so this isn't something that is that far-fetched, because it's something that is still on the artifacts that we have, even when they were transitioning from flat earth to globe.
Dude, this is the thing. There's so much things that they have hidden from us. And Tartaria is definitely one of those things. And from what, it's very hard to find information about Tartaria, but what has been found is that they were an advanced civilization. I would say that they are probably the last advanced civilization that was on Earth in this last few hundred years, because basically Tartaria is really big and they were very powerful. We know that the mud floods basically wiped them out. We do know that the Soviets rewrote the history because they were colonizing all of the people in that area. So they didn't want people to really know about Tartaria, know about their history and stuff like that. We do know that they were very tall beings.
Can you break down the word history? Can you break down the word history real quick? And we like to do this every single episode because the word history gets thrown around a lot. So what is
history? History is basically his story.
Can you
story.
Break down that word?
So the victors
us?
Have written the story, right? So
this
is why I say that, you know, I mean, the Soviets.
The good guys can't always win, right? The good guys can't always win. And that's history is always written by the good guys, so-called the good guys. Yeah. So, you know, his story is always written by the victors, whether they're good guys or bad guys. You're always going to get the information that they want you to get.
Yeah, agreed.
And so it's really hard when you use discernment, like, where do you use it? Like, is this true? Okay, we'll take a little bit of this. We'll take a little bit of this. This is all bullshit right here. So, you know, it gets very difficult, and the waters get muddied quite a bit. And that's the thing about being a truther, man, is you've got to be able to use discernment, and you got to use your gut feeling. Like, does this feel like bullshit? Often is more the way to go. Does it feel like bullshit? Yeah, this feels like bullshit. So it's bullshit.
I agree 100%. Because one of the things that I tell people is that if something is true, first, it has to make sense, right? It has to be plausible. It has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it's very unlikely it is true. So what I would say is that we don't know everything about everything, and what we do as a truther, we do a lot of research and we put a lot of pieces together. And in my case, I get where you have confirmations. So for like, if different sources, different times, different locations, different languages, etc., are saying the same thing, then I call that a confirmation. So I have a high degree of certainty that this is true. This is, for example, like the flood story. We know that there was a flood that happened on Earth. We have five different sets of people that we spoke about earlier in the show that have talked about a flood story, right? So this is why I would say that a flood is almost certain to have happened, right? Because we have all these people separated by different continents and large volumes of water, they have very similar stories. You know?
Right.
So that's a way that you...
I mean, we can... That is a whole, like, four episodes we could do back to back to back just on that. And you know, the mud floods and everything and free energy and our hidden history. For those listening right now, know that Sean Hibbler is one of my good friends and also my favorite filmmaker. And he just finished and is out on the Stu Peters channel, you can go check out Old World Order, where it is the newest documentary on Tartaria and our hidden world and our hidden truth. Go check that shit out, because you always know that he's bringing the fire. So we're coming down here. We're winding down to the end of the show, brother. And I just want to give you the floor here to anything that you didn't get to say tonight when you were on the show that you want to let my listeners know, my viewership know. And you just started your own podcast as well. So we'll go ahead and get everybody that's following me to jump over and give you a follow. But what is it that you would like to leave my followers with? And before you answer that question, I'm going to put it to you like this. Let's say that you are dying, and they said that you're going to have a viral video for your deathbed, that it's going to go viral. The last thing that you're ever going to say is going to go viral right now, and you have to come up with it on the spot. What are you telling everybody?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, and I like it. So what I would say is that, first thing first, we all are God. We all have great power inside of us. We have a spirit inside of us that is much more powerful, much greater, much more magnificent than we can even imagine. And we are basically the God-man. We are God walking in the flesh, just having an individualized experience. Because we all are God, it means that we can actually create the reality that we want. And how we do that is that we work on ourselves, because you can't change the world, but you can change yourself. And when you change yourself, what happens is that you end up changing the world, because what will happen is that people will see you doing the work on yourself. They'll be impressed by the work you're doing on yourself. And then people will ask questions. We're taught, how are you doing that? Catalyst, how are you doing that? John, how are you doing that? And then what will happen is that they give you permission teach them what you are doing. And even if people may not
lead correct, by example,
even if people don't ask you, what they will see is that you are setting such an example, and you're holding yourself accountable for yourself, for the things that you believe are righteous, that people will automatically copy you. Because what happens is that you know real when you see it, and you know truth when you hear it, you know truth when you feel it, you know love when it's in your presence, right? All of these things you are. You are truth, because the truth is written inside of you. You are love, because you are the creator, and everything is created with love. And all you need to do is to go inside of yourself to find the kingdom that has been within you. All the ascended masters have spoken about this. Krishna has spoken about it. Thor, Yeshua, Buddha, they all said the same thing. It's an inside job. So what we need to do is detach ourselves from the exterior. We have to understand the narratives of what they're trying to push. Like, we know that they're trying to push this whole bird flu stuff coming up. But what we do is we distract. That's another conversation. But we distract from that. And we say, look, I am going to work on me. I'm going to get my mind right. I'm going to start to do things like meditation. I'm going to get my body right, so I'm going to get into good physical shape. And I'm going to eat right, right? These are things that will help you to work on yourself. Now, when that happens, it means then that you will start to be able to grow spiritually, and you will start to become the person you want to be, because you have to heal your fears and traumas, forgive yourself for your mistakes so that you can forgive others, because we're all the same. We're all going through the exact same process right now. Some people are a little bit further down the line. Some people are now starting, but the journey is the same, and it is all in one direction. It's up, and it is hard. It doesn't get any easier with the more knowledge you get and the more information. In fact, it gets harder, because what's going to happen is, and what happens is that you look back and you're like, man, I've come from so far, and you want to give up. You know within yourself you can't give up, because you're just going back to what you know isn't the way to be. So you have to pick up your cross and keep walking the path. Keep trusting in yourself, keep trusting the process, and it will happen. Find the right people to hang around with, because you can't expect that you want to grow as a person and you're hanging with bums, people that all they do is freaking take drug, hard drugs all day, people that don't work, people that have nothing positive to say, you know what I mean? Hang with people that can touch, move, and inspire you to help you to level up.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, brother. If I'm not hanging out with people that are inspiring me to level up, then you're out of my life, because I am past that point to where I need to hear about your day and what bothered you throughout the day, because I'm beyond a day. I am to the point now where we're waking people up, and if you're not talking about that, then we're not having
absolutely
a conversation.
So it is you have to look at your diet, and your diet is not just food. Is the information you consume. So read books.
100%, 100%. And that is one of the biggest things that are making people sick. And I hate to interrupt you, but sometimes it's necessary. I'm interrupting you right now to illiterate the fact that you just said that the things that you consume is not just the things that you fucking eat. What you listen to affects you and how you're going to react. So if you're listening to bullshit garbage music like Wet Ass Pussy, then you're going to be a garbage bullshit person and portray that garbage bullshit. If you're listening to podcasts or books, you know, stuff like that, where you're constantly bettering yourself and helping yourself, then you're going to see that is going to generate from you in an energetic way. And then you're going to start vibrating that out towards other people. You will see the difference. You definitely will see the difference. So watch what you're fucking consuming. Don't turn on the TV. Don't watch the Kardashians. Don't watch this bullshit fucking things that they want you to get sucked into, because this does nothing but suck your energy. And that is exactly what they want. They do not want us manifesting and building and leveling up. And that is exactly what the fuck we are doing on here with White Rabbit with Todd Cave. And Todd Cave, please tell everybody where the fuck they can go get more of this shit. If you love Todd Cave and everything that he said here, just imagine he has his own podcast. So what the fuck is going on over there, brother? Let's hear about that.
So the podcast is called The Conscious Man 7. It is available on most platforms, Rumble, Odyssey, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify is available. Just search The Conscious Man 7. And also you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram has in my bio all my links, at Adriano_246, or my name Todd Cave, TODDCAVE. And also, if people are interested in leveling up themselves and getting into shape, because I am a fitness trainer as well, I'm a coach, and I coach in a holistic manner, where I just don't get your body right, but I help you improve your mindset, I help to hack your mind. And because what we do know is that in order to get into shape, you need to change your mindset. Because no matter how, it doesn't matter if I tell you to eat less and go and exercise, if you don't change your mindset, you will never get into shape. So getting into shape is just as much as getting your mind into shape. And then I'll help you to unlock your potential so you can get into the best shape of your life. Because summer's here. And yeah, so you can find me at Adriano_246. Also, I started to work with a company that does magic mushrooms. So if anyone is interested in leveling up spiritually and, getting to connect with their higher self and see if they can receive some downloads and all that kind of cool stuff, hit me up on any of my socials and let's have a chat and let's see if I can help you either on your spiritual journey with some magic mushrooms or getting into shape. Or you can support me as well if you can just listen to my podcast on Spreaker or Rumble, because it's too hot for YouTube. Although I will still put some content on there, the sanitized versions, but it's too hot for YouTube, you know? But those are the...
Love it, brother. So are we. So yeah, you guys, if you want to get more in tuned with Todd Cave and what he's doing, then just go ahead and all those links that he just mentioned right now, if you want to scroll down right now, you'll see them right there. You see him right there. Click on that right there. All right. Now go ahead and give him a follow. While you're at it, give him a 5-star, because that's going to help him out in the algorithms. And then he's going to be able to grow to more people. And go ahead and share his podcast, because guys, what we are about in this community is sharing. Sharing is caring. And as long as somebody has a good message and we want to get that message across, we're going to share each other's shit. So while you're at it, go ahead and follow me and give me a 5-star if you haven't already. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a long-time listener, welcome back. And this has been the White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, and Todd Cave has come and dropped the bomb on everybody. Is there any thoughts, questions, or concerns that you didn't get off your chest before we dip out of here?
All I would say is that for us to just trust the process, go inside, work on ourselves, look at the friends we keep, look at our diet, the information, the food we eat, and read books. And anyone that's interested in learning these things, if you check out my Instagram, I have one of my highlights. I have books to read. I have about 45 books in there that will keep you busy for a long time. And any questions anyone has, just hit me up. And in terms of anything that I haven't said, I will say that basically, time is awfully short, and we don't know when this whole spectacle, this whole charade, this whole false matrix that we live in is going to collapse. But what we do know is that we have a very small time, and the time to work on yourself is now. It's time to pick up your cross, die to your old self, and to take the journey and to walk this path to become your God man, to realize your divinity and your illumination, so that you can touch, move, and inspire others to do the same. Because one of the reasons why I do this is that I want that when this whole thing falls, that I have friends that I can go and talk to and hang out with. Because what's the point in me knowing all of this and they don't tell anyone? Then if everyone is dead and I'm alone, then I'm alone, right? I want to have people to go have a drink with, have a meal with, connect with, and build a community of like-minded people where we can help each other, protect each other, and, you know, add value to each other's life. So that is basically what I would like to say, is that I am you, you are me, and together we're one. One mind, one body, one spirit, one consciousness. United we are.
And love it, brother.
Disunited we will fall. So let's come together and take a fight to these elites, because we don't want any more. No mask. No more of this system. Let's break it.
I'm so on board with that, brother. And as a collective consciousness, and I know that one day I will be back there and bringing all of this information back to source that I've come through. And a big chunk of that, I'm going to be like Todd Cave was there and help me open and unlock this part of our reality. So thank you for that, brother. Everybody go check out Todd Cave and what he's doing over there at his podcast. I couldn't be more happy to have you on again, brother. Like I said, the first time we had you on, I almost kicked you off immediately, and I'm so glad that I didn't. I would never bill, I need a Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself, and they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Right here, Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in this image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans, nah. Or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids. They ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they preaching, this way that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me. But I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business are forced closed. Allah, Jehovah, Hashem, Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do. But worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.
Mark something for a pet deposit.